Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house He's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Today is a very special day in the life of this church, God's church, and in the life of two specific individuals, James David Wilcox and Robert Michael James. And we as a body of believers in our Lord Jesus Christ as Savior shall ordain Dave and Bobby as deacons for Ephesus Baptist Church. Deacon is our English transliteration of the Greek word diakonos. And diakonos was found 29 times in the Greek translation of the New Testament. And it is usually translated into English as minister or servant. And three times in the New Testament, in our English translation, it is translated as deacon. And all three of the uses of this word are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, minister, servant, and deacon. And there's another person who has been elected to serve as deacon, John Wayne Hendrick, who has been previously ordained. And he, along with Dave and Bobby, will begin their terms as active deacons and as servants here at Ephesus on October the 1st. But I want all of us who are involved in serving the Lord here at Ephesus, the congregation, Dave and Bobby, who we shall ordain, John Wayne, and the other seven deacons whom we have elected to serve, we all need to be mindful and to understand and consider what is expected of persons who serve in the office of deacon. Because not only deacons, but believers of the Lord need to possess these characteristics as well. It is important to understand, however, that when God calls a person to serve as deacon, He expects that person's heart to be right with Him. And there are four expectations that a person serving as deacon should strive for. Four things are expected of him or her who serves as a deacon. First of all, to be a faithful servant. To be a defender of the faith. To be an evangelist who shares the faith, and to be an example for others as they live their faith. So deacons, the following is a charge to each of you. You are to be a servant to the faithful. If you'll turn to your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, I want to read verses 1 through 4. It's familiar text. Many of you have heard it often. I've used this text before in different sermon contexts. But Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained about the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to ministry of the word." May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Now, the prototype of the person to fulfill the office of deacon is set forth in our text today. Please note that these men, these seven, were set aside by the church at Jerusalem to wait tables. A problem had arisen in that the church, in distributing food to widows, somehow had been neglecting the Greek widows. And the apostles wisely called the church together and had them pick seven men from among themselves to be appointed over the task of food distribution. Well, Dave and Bobby, just like these seven men were appointed servants of the church of Jerusalem, so too you have been called to be a servant of Ephesus Baptist Church. A servant is a waiter, an attendant, one who performs errands or duties concerning the temporal task of the church. And today you are being set aside as a servant here at Ephesus, at God's house. But be aware of the task set before you. The Lord has placed you here in this office, and therefore it is to be served with a humble mindset, as set forth in John chapter 13. And in this passage of Scripture, we are told Jesus humbled himself and washed the feet of his disciples. And in Matthew 20, 25 through 28, Jesus said to the disciples, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." So I charge you, Dave and Bobby, and your fellow deacons to be servants of God's church. A deacon is to be a defender of the faith. In Acts chapters 6 and 7, we are told the story of Stephen's great defense of the Christian faith. He made a defense despite the difficult situation he was facing, and he ultimately, as we know, gave his life. So Dave and Bobby, just like Stephen, there will be times in the church and outside the church during which you'll be placed in a situation of defending the faith. You will be required to stand concerning the reality and the truth of God's word. And there will be some who want to put tradition above the word of God. And when that happens, you will be required to be a defender of the faith. We read in 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and with respect." So I charge you, Dave and Bobby, and your fellow deacons to be defenders of the faith. A deacon is to be an evangelist. The next instance we observe of a deacon is found in Acts chapter 8. And these verses relate to Philip, and Philip was called an evangelist in the book of Acts. And he is found here following the Lord's example and sharing his faith with another, an Ethiopian. So as deacons, Dave and Bobby, you must be open to the leadership of the Holy Spirit and be willing to share the gospel with others as the Lord opens up opportunities, just as we all must be prepared. Paul wrote in his first letter to the church at Corinth, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to these Scriptures. So I charge you, Dave and Bobby and your fellow deacons, to be evangelists, to share your faith with others. A deacon is to be an example to others living the faith, and those who are not churched, who are not believers. You know, the qualifications of deacons are set forth in Acts chapter 6 and in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And after considering these qualifications, the members of this body of believers here at Ephesus has found you, Dave, and you, Bobby, and your fellow deacons to be men of good reputation and of wisdom and full of the Holy Spirit. They have recommended you be ordained today as deacons. They have chosen you two, along with John Wayne and our other seven deacons, to serve as our deacon body. And both of you, new deacons, need to realize that you will be living in a glass house. Deacons, you and your wives must conduct yourselves openly and candidly before others. Wives, support your deacon husband. Guard his reputation. Do not argue with him in public. Discuss your concerns about maybe his theology, about maybe his actions, but do so privately. Deacons, we want you to live your life so as to imitate Christ's walk on earth. And doing so means that you conduct your personal and public life as a Christian example and as a witness to others. It means that you abide by the Constitution and bylaws of God's church. It means that you are active and faithful in participating in the Deacon Family Ministry Program. It means that you are faithful in attending and participating in the various worship services of God's house, attending its business meetings and its deacons' meetings. And it means supporting all the programs of the church with your time and with your money. So I charge you, Dave and Bobby and your fellow deacons, to be examples of Jesus for others. And now I have a charge to the church, God's body of believers concerning our deacons. First of all, we need to pray for the deacons. Jimmy was talking about the great evangelist Charles Spurgeon in opening assembly this morning, and Reverend Spurgeon said his greatest strength came to him because the members of the church were praying for him. So Ephesus believers, you should lift up the name of your deacons to the throne of grace every day. Ask God to protect them, to guide them, to give them the strength and the courage to carry out the plans that He feels your deacons should be involved in. Secondly, we need to support the deacons. Sometimes deacons make recommendations that may be unpopular to the congregation, to the membership. But we need to pray about those and to support them if God leads us to do so. So I charge this church to remember it is God who calls us and God who supplies His gifts to the members of His church. He has not called these men to be slaves who serve us like a master, but He's called them to be servants in the relationship of one with a humble heart serving those in need. So Dave and Bobby, all of our deacons here at Ephesus, to this church you will be known as its deacons. To the Lord you will be his deacons, known as servants to the faithful, defenders of the faith, evangelists who share the faith, and examples of faith to others. These are all great titles, and I know you will wear them well. Therefore, deacons of Ephesus Church, I now charge you before this body of witnesses to serve your office well. And believers of Ephesus, I now charge you to pray for and support the deacons of God's church. At this time, I'm going to ask Dave and Linda to come forward, and Pam and Bobby, please. Let us bow for prayer. Most loving and almighty God, we thank you for calling Dave and Bobby to serve as members of the deacon body here at your church. We invoke your blessings upon each of them and upon their wives and upon their families. We ask that you guide them, give them the strength and courage to serve as you would have them serve here. We invoke your blessings upon those of us here attending this ordination service, and indeed upon the entire congregation here. Let us learn also to be servants, to witness to others, to defend our faith, and to be the examples to others that you would have us to be. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.